That's Pete Townsend, Let My Love Open the Door, 10 past 2. ABC Radio Perth and Western Australia, I'm Jill O'Shaughnessy. I wonder if you've ever been whale watching or seen whales frolicking along the coast as they make their way up and down in their annual migration. One of my immense disappointments, I have lived in Western Australia, right by the ocean all my life, have yet to see one. In contrast, I want you to meet photographer Wade Hughes, who with his partner Robin have spent the best part of the last 15 years up close with these glorious creatures of the deep, recording and observing them in their natural habitat. 14 expeditions, 15 years have come together in this beautiful book, which I'm holding in my hands. It's so stunning, called Looking for Whales. Hello to you, Wade.
Gillian.
I'm so excited to meet you. I love whales.
Oh, thank you.
I get a little bit gushy and excited when I talk about whales, but I've never seen one. Can you believe that?
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, we never saw whales at all. We saw the old whaling stations, but you never saw a whale at sea. They were still yet to return. So it's been a privilege for us to do this too. It's one of those wonderful things that we've done in our life.
Well, tell me how it started.
Bit of boredom, really. Robin and I have both been diving for a long time, and we thought, be good to do something different. We were living in the US at the time, and we thought it would be good to do something different. So why not swim with whales if we can possibly do that? And we wrote around the world to a lot of whale watching outfits and said, we'd like to be able to get in the water. Is that possible? Can you, you know? We got one response. That was from the Azores, which is in mid-Atlantic, on the mid-Atlantic ridge, so very deep water, volcanic islands, same latitude as Lisbon and New York. And the guy there said, yeah, I can help you get a permit, provided you've got some credentials. And fortunately, we'd published a bit of stuff about natural history and written a bit of stuff too. This is just hobby stuff, really, amateur photography type work. Although I did some professional work earlier, around animals and things like that. But anyway, that got us in. That got us a permit. And then we were extremely fortunate that first time, knowing nothing about sperm whales, we were extremely fortunate that we had a couple of really good encounters. And the photographs from those, we got very interested in whales. The photographs helped us get another permit. And we've never been knocked back for a permit in the Azores now. We've done that trip 10 times.
Wow.
The way we work, we just charter a boat ourselves, and there's Robin and myself. We sometimes have others with us. We've had some friends from Perth with us who are photographers in their own right, but it's just us in the boat. And so we take turns getting in the water. In the last few years, I've been doing most of the swimming underwater. Robin has swum with every species of whale that I've swum with, but she doesn't do underwater photography. And we decided that splitting the workload would be better, because there's some real stories to be told from what you can gather from the boat while you're watching whales underwater. And, excuse me, in the book you'll see a particular array of photographs that Robin took from the boat while a large group of sperm whales were giving simultaneous births.
Oh, wow.
Way too dangerous for me to get in the water, but Robin's work really captures the drama that was going on. And then I was able, when it all calmed down a bit, to get in the water with a smaller group and get some really astonishing encounters with brand new babies.
Well, tell me about it. What was that like? What did you see?
Well, I think there's a picture in the book that I, as far as I know, is the only photograph taken of a sperm whale actually in the act of starting to give birth. The flukes are starting to emerge of the calf, and she's accompanied by a number of escorts. They were travelling at speed. They came past me very quickly, but as she rolled over, I was able to get just one shot of this whale about to give birth.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, from the direction that they'd gone, I don't know if they were the same whales, but there's this brand new baby in front of me. Just amazing. And I don't believe they brought it to show me. I think that's being a bit anthropomorphic. But I did watch as they took that baby whale and introduced it to other whales in the clan. And I wondered if it would remember all their names next time they met, you know.
So do you remember back to that first moment when you are immersed in the water, and in front of you, you are seeing one, two of these magnificent creatures. What that moment was like?
The very first, I first swam with a couple of humpbacks in Tonga back in the 90s. I jumped off a yacht that was under full sail. That wasn't a smart thing to do, but there was these two humpbacks, and I got a glimpse of those. But the first real meaningful encounter was on our first trip to the Azores, and the first whale I swam in the hope of meeting was as big as they get these days.
How big is that when you're underwater? What does it feel?
Okay, well, this was a bull sperm whale and about 18 metres and probably weighing 50, 55 tonnes. There's records of much bigger bulls in the whaling record, but we think probably the big bulls that I have not yet had long enough to reach those 70 or 80 feet lengths.
Is it overwhelming?
I don't have a photograph of that whale, so it must be, because I was in a perfect position because it just kept coming, and I was looking towards the boat and they were waving me further and further and further away, and because it's very hard to see them, it's choppy water and stuff. I could see this back coming occasionally, but then I saw this white mouth appearing in the blue haze, and it just got bigger and bigger and came past and made eye contact. And when it made eye contact, I got back to the boat. I was irritated when the boat came and picked me up, actually, because I watched this thing swim off into the distance, and I just wanted to be alone to process that. And the boat came, how was it? Oh, camera, I didn't even take a picture. I was just stunned is not a word I use a lot, but definitely that's sort of being stunned, isn't it? It was just immense and magnificent, and the eye contact.
Do you get a sense, Wade Hughes, our guest on ABC Radio Perth and WA, and the book is Looking for Whales. Wade has spent 15 years photographing them with his wife, Robin, who's also a photographer. Do you get a sense they're aware of your presence then?
Oh, they're definitely aware. There's no doubt about that. And these days, we've learned enough to make sure that they do know we're there. So, I fire a couple of frames out of my camera just to be sure that they know there's something else in the water. I surprised one sperm whale once. I guess she was thinking about other things and she was more back to me, and I just took a picture from the hip basically to get a sense of the arrangement of the whales that were around her, and that startled her, and I vowed I'll never ever do that again.
Dangerous, I would imagine, potentially.
They react quickly. So we always try to make sure that they know we're there. Very often you don't have to do that. They're so self-aware and so sensitive. The hearing is so sensitive. But we always make sure they do. The fact that they're aware that we're there is interesting, because we've got photographs of whales engaging with us, which, with one exception, is not what we're really looking for. We'd rather have whales engaging with whales and just ignore us.
What's the exception?
Well, it was last year, and we met this trio of whales, all females, and there was a female calf, an adolescent female, so big teenager basically, and an adult female. And I've been in the water with lots of calves. They can zoom past, they can swim up and then swim away. We let the whales decide how this encounter is going to unfold every time. There's no point trying to force yourself in on a whale. We're not breathless to get photographs. And so this young calf, probably a few months old, a couple of tons, I suppose, just pressed in on me, and it's the only whale I've ever voluntarily touched. I actually had to push myself away, because you can't push them away, they weigh 2 tons, right? Push myself away from it to get some space between my camera and this young calf with these two guardians, maybe the mother and maybe an older sister in the background. And it just kept coming, and it was pulsing and things. When I touched it, it just rolled over like a puppy. And so I gave it a rub under the chin, as who wouldn't? And that led to greater and greater encounter. And eventually the adolescent stepped in and disciplined the calf.
How did it do that? What did it do?
Well, it came, it made a concerted rush. It had its mouth open at one stage, which caused, I got a picture of that, but it still caused me a bit of bit of pause for thought. But anyway, eventually the calf went back to, we think, mum. And then 2 days later, we encountered the same group of whales. And I got in the water just to see if the calf would remember me and fired a couple of frames just to make sure everybody knew that I was there. And the young calf and the adult kept swimming away together. The one that turned back was the adolescent. And she approached me with such intenseness, and the scrutiny from her was truly intense. And she approached closer and closer and closer. There's a photograph in the book. She rolled upside down, spraying me with sonar. And I could see when she finally sort of eased away a little bit, she wasn't really ready to go. And then she came back and she just kept looking. And when I finally disengaged and got into the boat, I said, we had a marine biologist on board, we usually do, and I said, Maria, that is the most thoughtful whale I've ever, ever encountered. And that leads us to the question, are the matriarchs in sperm whale society? We know it's matrilineal, just like elephants. The females live with the young, and then as the male young, you know, get their feel their oats, they move off and become solitary males. The question that remains unanswered is, within those matrilineal groupings, are there some females that go on to become leaders like elephants? And it's been discussed for 20-odd years, but we had a similar encounter in 2005 where an adolescent whale disciplined a curious calf, pushed it back into formation on what we think is probably a training dive. And then fast forward to last year, here's another adolescent disciplining a calf with the mother, we think the mother, in the background, all this chattering going on. So is there a matriarch in training from a matriarch in the background? And are these precocious calves the most curious? Are they the ones that have the personality to actually develop into matriarchs in their own time? We don't know. Nobody knows. But to make those kinds of observations and to be able to put together two data points from 2005 and 2018 and say, well, there's some similar behaviour. I mean, what? It just makes it more fascinating. It raises more questions than it answers. But
You mentioned chattering. I've only ever heard whale song. What do they sound like?
Okay, well, I'm not very good at doing impersonations of whales, right?
But you're going to give it a go, Wade, because you break my heart if you don't.
Okay, well, humpbacks sing, and to hear that in the water is really profound. There's a photograph in the book of two humpbacks fighting and two males fighting. And while that was going on right under my feet, there's another male somewhere singing like Pavarotti. It was just, you get this, because water transfers, transmits sound so readily and multi-directionally. It was like being surrounded by opera, whale opera, and all this fighting going on. It was just fantastic. But sperm whales, the toothed whales, have a much different vocabulary. It's zzz and clicks and clangs. We heard the calf that was so close to me, it was going mup, 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 mup. And then it mewed like a little kitten, went meow, meow. Never heard that before. And all this, and then the whole background, the whole ether is filled with the chattering of the others. You can't tell who's doing what or saying what, but it's this intense static in many ways with these claps and clangs and strings of Zs, and it's really quite puzzling.
Wow. Now, there's some beautiful photographs in the book as well, and I don't think too many of our listeners would have experienced what you've experienced underwater, but I think a lot of people would have seen those glorious, when they leap into the air and they come crashing down. What have you seen there, and what have you learned from that, do you think?
Well, nobody knows why they jump. There's a fantastic shot of robins in the book with this whale landing, and there's just this, it looks like a nuclear explosion's gone off, and there's just this pectoral fin. It's a humpback in Exmouth Gulf, but there's just this pectoral fin sort of peeping out the top of this massive splash. But nobody really knows why they jump. The maybe they jump to shed skin, because we know that every time we visit the site of a sperm whale breach, there's always skin. But they're shedding skin all the time. They've got the world's worst dandruff, and it smells like sardines. Yeah, so it's not good stuff, but it fills the water around them. Maybe they jump to transmit an honest signal, because a small whale can't make a big splash. So if you're wanting to show that you're big and you're here, then a breach is a good way to perhaps signal that. Maybe it's a signalling mechanism for other reasons. Maybe it's just fun. There's a lot of
it. They look like they're having fun. I know, you know, anthropomorphism is a thing, and
yes,
we often try and, you know, I think scientifically there's really good reasons for distancing yourself from that.
Yes.
But you can speculate for fun.
Yeah, yeah. If you think about the energy required to lift, you know, tons of body weight out of the water, there must be something in it for the whales.
Yeah.
They wouldn't waste that energy, that hard-won energy, just frivolously.
Although we have heard of animals like dolphins, and again, I'm not sure of the science behind it, but there's certainly been scientific conversations around the idea of animals at play.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure that's a given.
What is? Have you got just a single? Because I could talk to you all day, but if you just got a single great observational memory that you've seen in your 15 years that you can share?
Oh, multiple births of sperm whales.
Yeah,
just breathtaking.
Wonderful. Oh, look,
navigation of whales and just all these babies. Yeah.
They're beautiful, aren't they? Just astonishing creatures.
They're amazing things.
I'm moved talking to you, so I can't imagine what it is like under the water. The book is Looking for Whales, Wade and Robin Hughes, and they're local photographers. So if you get a chance to have a look at the book, or keep your eye out for any exhibitions, you've got a website as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
So people can look at your photographs. They're just absolutely stunning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's coming up to 2:30. Karen Tye will be in to talk sport in just a little while on ABC Radio Perth and WAM Jill.